It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Okay, it froze for us as well.
Our internet's a bit unstable.
Everyone, like, maybe disconnect from their phones if they haven't.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that that subscribe button while you're hanging around. I do three new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith, today hanging out with the band Inhaler. That's Elijah Hewson, Robert Keating, Josh Jenkinson, and Ryan McMahon. We're going to be talking about their sophomore album, Cuts and Bruises, and the nostalgia that runs through its lyrics. We will talk about the songwriting tricks of some of the greats, like Bob Dylan and the Beatles. There's a nod to David Bowie's fashion. And we'll try to figure out what's going to happen with all the leftover songs they wrote for this session. We'll also get the backstory on their fans making special hats for each gig and really have some fun on how we as fans really like the imperfections within songs, sometimes to the chagrin of the artists themselves. So let's talk Cuts and Bruises. It's Kyle Meredith with Inhaler.
Hello. Thanks. That's what an introduction.
That was very nice. Thank you.
I love what you guys are doing here. And I know the bar was set high. I know lots of questions and the word sophomore album has probably been thrown around so much at this point. But it is impressive. And it's not an easy thing to do to follow what you guys had already put in play there. A lot of my favorite albums are sophomore albums because it sort of has that back against the wall feeling to it.
Definitely.
Is that sort of what you all had going into this? Because I don't even know when you had the time to make a record, as much touring as you did.
Yeah, it was definitely a struggle for us. But at the same time, like, I think the reward outweighs any of like many frustrations you have making it. I mean, we say like we only had like a few weeks to write it or whatever, but we were blessed with like a decent amount of time, but that's only because we sacrificed our days off in order to do it. So we'd come off tour and go straight into the studio. And it was very much like a kind of hothouse environment, but it worked out for us.
I mean, as they say, they're 24 hours in a day. That's true. So plenty of time to get things done.
Sometimes, 27 hours in a day when you work in our studio.
Do you all feel like it needed to be anything? Like, did this record, again, you know, and it's always unfair doing a comparison because it's just the next step, but when you are introduced in such a way, did this record need to be something? Did it need to say something?
Well, it needed to be better than the first. We never really go into the studio with a master plan, really, of what the record be or what it should be. That kind of just unravels as the process goes on. But eventually, as these songs were starting to come to fruition, we were writing more and more the subject matter of friendship, companionship, longing to get back to a certain place. That all just became a lot more prevalent as time went on. Nowadays, though, like with writing new songs, we start to have a bit more of a conversation about what something might potentially be before we actually go into a studio, because we're terrible at knowing when to hit the brakes and just stop and leave something be. So, you know, that's something we're working on a little bit.
It is interesting to hear you all talking about, you know, the looking back part on this record, because when I hear it, it's like, it's, you know, so much of songwriting, that's what you do. You look back to whatever you're looking back to, recently or far, but there's almost this look in a nostalgic way, if that makes sense, which is so interesting. You know, I mean, you're early 20s or whatever, and that's usually when that nostalgia hits us for whatever reason. That's when we, like, you can almost still smell childhood and you're already reaching for it.
Yeah.
Why was that such a reoccurring theme on the record, if you can verbalize it?
I have no idea. I think it was from, because we started playing when we were so young, like, there's a couple songs on the album that are about being in a band and like the experience of it. And Now You Got Me is like about that pact that you make right at the beginning of it all. And that makes us feel nostalgic. You know, like we've been playing for so many years. Like some of us have been together for like 10 years, you know, which is just wild to think about. And I think that having that kind of be the talking point of some of the songs, you're just inevitably going to go back there and look for it and try and conjure up some imagery, and you know, because it makes the songs feel a bit more personal, you know. And yeah, you're right, that nobody's really said that to us yet about this album, but it definitely was, there was a lot of like nostalgia in it, even like a song like Dublin and Ecstasy. You know, I guess you're meant to be looking forward on your second album, but we definitely, we were looking backward.
I think because we tour so much, it always feels like we're playing catch up, whether it's like in our own personal lives or in the band. So it's like we could do like 6 to 8 months of touring, and then when we go to write songs, it's like pre-tour. It's like back when we were home before, because we've only done gigs. And then I think when we got into the second album, and we had got to tour the first album after like lockdown kind of ended, then it was just all we could write about, so we just wrote about being on the road. And then if it wasn't that, it was before, and that's probably where the nostalgia comes from, because it's like we didn't even really do much during lockdown when it came to being creative. We tried our best, like everyone, but
just watch a lot of Seinfeld, that's what ends up happening during a pandemic. Now I know the person I am during a pandemic anyway. And so no, but it almost, it even feels like a marker in the sand, and you know, I won't go too much further into that, but you know, it's there is that dividing line, it does feel like, because it's not looking back, it, to me as a listener, I should say, it doesn't feel like it's looking back as to something that you were just doing. It almost feels like that was us then, but it's not us now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think you're exactly right about that. I think we don't want to, like, we still want to be moving forward as human beings and as friends and stuff and find the next step. But I think, you know, sometimes you have to consult your past in order to figure out your future, you know, something stupid like that. I don't know.
Yeah. We're still trying to find that kind of body of work where we're kind of like, okay, this is like a new thing that we're all going to jump into, and kind of, it's going to change the band a bit. I think it's kind of important for us to not rush into like trying to do some big grandiose, like concept-y thing, and just do what feels natural, which has just been like the kind of formula we've had for the last two records.
Works well. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it yet anyway. So, and we'll be right back right after this.
Oh, O'Reilly. check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Inhaler. And the way the album starts, I mean, just to keep you satisfied, is such a cool song. I started thinking, you know, that the bridge, the breakdown in that, that riff, I feel like could have been its own song entirely. Do you all get those moments? Like, oh my God, this is so good. It's only going to be here, though.
Breaking that song, it always reminds me of Fashion with David Bowie. It's got that, I don't know, sort of like brooding 80s lick to it. Quite happy you mentioned that, actually. That's really nice.
To answer your question, I think we actually love breaks and we love middle eights and we love intros, we love outros. So I think we often do them a lot easier than we do the rest of the song. So we've got like the amount of songs we have where it's like a just to keep you satisfied situation where like we have like an amazing break, but we just don't have any other bits. It's the other bits that we, when we get them, we're all pretty pleased with it. We're satisfied. It was like the tune was already there. So then we kind of doing stuff like the break was like the fun part where we just kind of basically just messed around.
Yeah, I'm reminded, you brought up Bowie. Usually I'm flanked with Bowie posters all behind me. I'm in a different location today. But I also think of like Neil Young, Cinnamon Girl, at the end of it. Yeah, at the end of it, he goes into this whole different riff. And I keep thinking, that song's been around for 50 years. And I'm thinking for 50 years, he's never taken that riff and made a whole song of it. And it was a throwaway, jam at the end for 10 seconds. It's that would drive me crazy as a musician. That's all.
That guy's a machine. I remember reading something where like Bob Dylan kind of said, like, I have all these ideas for songs, and if they don't turn into songs quickly, I kind of just let those songs go, and like I don't even archive them. I just just destroy them in my head and just never go back there. And I'm sure that can't be true. if you have an amazing part for something, it's going to come up. Like I think Paul McCartney said, he does that all the time.
Might take years, but it will eventually have its time.
Like he said recently that he thinks one of the reasons the Beatles songs were so catchy and so good was that they didn't have phones and they couldn't record every little bit that they were doing. So they'd write a song and then they'd write down what they could and they'd remember what they could. And the next day they'd come in and be like, oh, what was that bit? And they'd just sing a very like simplified version of it. And it would be very catchy. And like, you only remember the great bits. You don't remember like average stuff. So to answer your question, thanks.
I mean, you got to have a lot of trust in yourself, in the universe, whatever, that, that's going to come, because it also feels like that's probably like some kind of type A, type B person, like I can just let go. It'll be there.
Yeah.
The person that's like every little thing's got to be documented. I might be that one instead. I don't know that I would have that complete faith.
I think we might be type C.
Is that just the combination of the two?
Neither.
That's not known what we're doing.
I don't know. We're just not knowing what we're doing. Yeah.
No, you mentioned Dublin and Ecstasy, and that's a great example, because that is something that was in the past in one form and sort of pulled into it. And that's another, I think, high mark of this album, because of the mood, there is a contrast with that song as to where most of the rest of the album kind of sits and plays around with.
Yeah, we were going for more, optimistic melody lines a couple of years ago when we were wide-eyed teenage. We still are pretty wide-eyed, but
pushing on,
yeah, we're pushing on about 20, what age are we now, 23, 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, feeling old, man.
We act like 40-year-old men now. It's pretty uninspiring to watch. Yes.
Honestly,
but on stage we're good. It's just everything else.
Yeah, we put all of our efforts into the gig.
Yeah,
not a bad place to put it. And the album, don't sell yourself short
there.
That's what we feel like, 40-year-old men, is because we've done that already.
Yeah.
A song like that, though,
it does make me wonder, because, you know, you think about bands with the vaults, like these days we don't have B-sides like, you know, bands used to have. And I so miss B-sides. Usually those were the songs that, you know, a lot of time they just didn't make the album, or they weren't fully formed, but they end up being something special for the fans, you know. You know, for you all, for these sessions, I mean, are there other, like Dublin and Ecstasy would have been a cast off. It didn't work for the first record. It came back later. I mean, how many other songs do you all have that potential?
I think we wrote like something like 40 different pieces of music for this record. And I don't know how many roughly were like fully fledged songs, but I don't know. They could come back up again in the future. I mean, the other day in a sound check, we were playing old songs that we hadn't played since we were like 17 or 18. And there was some that were there was a very obvious reason why we haven't done them in so long. And others where we kind of just like, oh, there's something still quite good in that, you know? So it's exactly like what we were saying earlier about just like, some ideas, if they're good enough, they can take years to come back and have their time. It might not just be right there and then.
Sometimes you just don't have whatever it is that you need to complete it, like the knowledge of, you know, we have so much more knowledge of music these days and knowledge of like how to be in a studio and how to like finish a song. I think back then it was just kind of like, oh yeah, it'll write itself, you know what I mean? Eventually, somewhere down the line, if we keep playing it enough. But yeah, I think we know a lot more now. So
our producer, and who did the first record as well, he always uses the analogy that if a part is good enough, or if a song is good enough and it will have enough legs to speak for itself, it will always just go, put me in, coach. You know, it will become apparent, like as time goes on, which is the obvious one to put in for the team.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Inhaler. There's also the fan perspective. And I'll hit on that one again. It's an easy example with Dublin and Ecstasy. I mean, you all had said the fans took to that one earlier than even you all did. And it's interesting, like the songs that you don't think are finished, you know, we are still happy with a lot of the time. And you probably have songs like that with your favorite bands as well. You know, it's like, oh, that one wasn't a great song, or we didn't. And you hear the demo version, you're like, oh my God, that was great. What were you thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is often those kind of, I guess, imperfections that people like, but yeah, for us, they just don't sound good. So it's like, and that's just, I think that's a normal part of being an artist, is like, not, I guess, not settling. And yeah, we don't want to just like churn songs out because fans like them, and we don't, because I just feel like that's could get slippery to the point where we're making stuff that we don't want to make.
Yeah.
But we did believe in that song. We knew the fans were right. We just didn't know how to portray it for a while. And it went through some changes.
They pointed us in the right direction of the version of the song, because we all love the song.
Yeah.
It was just we had done a version of it in the studio that we just kind of all were like, oh, maybe this just is shit. You know what I mean? And then the fans were like, no, it's not. But it's this version we love. Yeah, and so we went for
it. We did a number on it.
Thank goodness, yeah.
Yeah, and it's been going down well live. Like, it was definitely the right call, so we're really happy about that. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of live, I'm excited. I'll get to see you guys. It's not for a while. You're going to be, I'm in Louisville, Kentucky here. You'll be here in September for Bourbon and Beyond. Same day as The Killers and Duran Duran and Brittany Howard and Gaslight Anthem. It's a good day to be down here. So,
yeah, I'm excited. It's got the best poster of the summer as well. I love the poster for that festival.
It's a great festival too. How long do you guys spend dressing up hats for each market every day? Because I feel like that's got to take a lot of time.
we don't even make them. Like, the fans just bring them to the gigs. I don't even know where it started.
Throw them on stage.
They just throw them on stage. It's become like a thing now that they just do.
But it's only in the US.
Yeah. No, they do it in the UK a little bit as well. Yeah. And we love it.
I think we just thought it was an American thing, but it seems like it's just at our shows.
Yeah, I think it started in America and then on the last tour. And then by the end, we had like 1,000 cowboy hats on the bus. Our tour manager, Gary, was just like, lads, what the fuck? Like, what are we going to do with all these hats? So we just gave them back to fans and
try not to give the same hat to the same fans.
Yeah. And stuff like that. So But it's great to see that, like, there's a community, like, even seeing the people line up outside the gigs, like, they'll line up from, like, 12 the night before and, like, all sleep on the curb and, like, talk to each other about music and whatever. And it's like, we're like, you're absolutely nuts for doing that. But it's great to see that, it's lovely. Like, there's a community there.
That's always beautiful if you can cultivate that as a band. My son's 15, and he's just starting to come into his own on live shows and everything. And he said, I don't understand why people follow a band for multiple shows. It didn't occur to him yet. And I had done that when I was younger. Like late 90s, early 2000s. Like, I went on 2 or 3 years of just a string of Pearl Jam shows. You know, wow. I caught on to that one. And it was as much about the music as it was the community that you fall into, because it's that like-minded thing. And that's such a fun experience to be a part of. Like, I'm so happy that I had that moment in my life, so I can completely relate to them.
It is just like, it's what we have, but the fans have the same thing, because we just have a relationship with each other through music, which is like stronger almost than other friendships, that because we have that in common. And I guess our fans have the same thing, is that they all have gone to shows and they go to each venue and meet each other and stuff. So yeah.
For a good reason. Again, I'll say it, Cuts and Bruises is so damn good. I love what you guys are doing, and I'm so happy we got to talk about it today. I can't wait to see you guys down the road.
Thanks awesome. Very much, Kyle.
Thank
Appreciate
you. It, Kyle.
Take it easy.
And my thanks to Inhaler. The new album is called Cuts and Bruises. It's out now. Thanks to you for hanging out and checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button while you're still here. You get 3 new interviews sent to you every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep up to date with your favorite artists. And discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. where I do a show starting 6 p.m. every weekday, Monday through Friday. It's song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
We might potentially have to change room, lads, and like go upstairs.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.